Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store or Lowe's.com for more details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, your soul's secret blueprint. A conversation with astrologer Suzanne Gerber. Suzanne Gerber's mystical journey began at age 10 with a chilling Ouija board experience. Since then, Suzanne has dedicated her life to exploring the unseen, using astrology as a powerful tool to decode the soul's purpose and the cosmic rhythms that guide us. Suzanne explains that our astrological charts are like MRIs for the soul, revealing everything from career paths and soulmates to intergenerational traumas and family dynamics. Drawing on a rich background in astrology, shamanism, Reiki, and quantum physics, Suzanne offers profound insights into how we can reconnect with our soul's intention for this lifetime. Discover how your astrology chart can illuminate your life's purpose and how to harness that knowledge to navigate life's twists and turns with cosmic clarity. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation with astrologer Suzanne Gerber. Suzanne, thank you very much for joining me today. And I find you very, I'm going to just be right up front. I find you very interesting and a wee bit intimidating. And the reason I find you intimidating, as an astrologer, as I was telling you before we started, I've always been a little intimidated by astrology. And I think it's because I don't understand the terms and I want to act like I do, but I really don't. And so today I would love for you to help enlighten me and enlighten our listeners and kind of share what you do, because I'm actually quite fascinated by it as well. So thank you very much for taking the time to join me today.
Well, thank you, Carol, for inviting me, because I'm very excited.
I think this will be a really interesting conversation. Now, let's go way back to little Suzanne. How do you see this path kind of started for you, leading you into being an astrologer, an astro coach, you're a shamanic healer? How did that all begin for you?
Well, it doesn't really, when we're little, we don't think in terms of like, well, I think I want to be a shamanic astrologer,
right?
You know, because we don't know about things like that when we're little, especially from our generation. Maybe kids today have a better idea of that realm, but it wasn't that world. Weird things just always happened to me. And, you know, over my decades of life, I've gotten to meet a lot of other people who've had very weird things happen from very early on. And we just, it was like an early initiation before we knew that we were being initiated into something else. And there are plenty of people who just think that what they can see and feel and hear and, you know, experience is the whole world. But I think there are a lot of people who, whether through dreams or through deja vus or really weird coincidences that keep happening, they start to get a sense of, yeah, there's stuff that the grownups aren't telling us.
Right.
And for me, you know, I would have like clocks and watches stop at the same time. I had a watch that just disappeared from my nightstand, and it wound up in the middle, underneath my mattress, not under the bed, under the mattress, dead center, and it had stopped at the exact same time as the clock in my bedroom. When you're like 8 years old, you do not know what to do with experiences like this. But you know, you didn't put it there. You didn't stop them. And so when I was 10 years old, we had recently moved into relatively a new home. And my mother had just lost her mother. She was very, very close to her mother. And she was very bereft. And she took time off from work and to grieve. We didn't have a lot of grief coaches. She was just in her bedroom, like sleeping, like for days, weeks. And my best friend came over and she said, "Hey, you want to do the Ouija board?" And I'm like, "Yeah, what's the Ouija board?" And so she took it out and she explained how you put your fingers lightly on the pointer and there might be a spirit that comes through and you don't have to do anything. I'm like, okay, I'm really good at not doing anything. And so I placed my fingers on the pointer and she was on the other side and she seemed pretty experienced. And she, you know, asked if there was a spirit in the house and boom, like right away it went to yes. And then she might've asked, "Are you a good spirit or a bad spirit?" And it said it was a good spirit. And it spelled out, "I love you. I love you." And she said, "What's your name?" And it spelled out a very strange combination of letters to me. It spelled out G-I-D-E-L, which I took to mean Giddle, a name I'd never heard. And then it said goodbye and it left. And I just thought that was kind of the coolest, spookiest thing I could imagine. And I went skipping into my mother's room to tell her the exciting news. But my mother was, again, she was so grief-struck that she couldn't really muster much enthusiasm. And I said, Mom, guess what? We have a spirit in the house. That's nice, dear. No, it says it loves us. That's nice, dear. Do you want to know its name? It's Giddle. And my mother burst into tears. I said, "What? Mom, what?" She said, "That was your grandmother's Hebrew name."
Oh my goodness, that just gave me goosebumps.
Right. Carol, I still get goosebumps because that really happened. And here I am, 10 years old, really my first experience secondhand with death touching our family, which was so sad. But here we have a loving spirit who's still present. Mm-hmm. And so it really made me really curious about what lies beyond our perception. Right.
And there is so much beyond, I believe, what's right in front of us. I think there's a lot of unseen factors at play all the time in our lives. Now, at what point did you start to become interested in astrology? Did it start kind of as a hobby? You know, I think as kids, I was fascinated by my zodiac sign and, you know, the very basic things. You know, I remember getting the newspaper and reading my horoscope, which never made any sense, but, you know, it was in the paper, so there must be some legitimacy to this. But at what point did you become interested in it to where you pursued it to the level you have?
Well, I loved the night sky as a tiny, tiny child. And, you know, when we're really little, we're not out at night, right? Because we get put to bed pretty early. But I must have had like a little mobile hanging above my crib and it had the stars. And I think it might have had Humpty Dumpty jumping over the moon, because the first time that I actually saw the night sky, I asked my parents, "Where are the strings that hold up the stars?" Because I thought they were hanging from some kind of firmament. And I really thought that I was going to see a cow jumping over the moon. And it was a great disconnect to me. But I loved the sky. And I loved thinking about the planets. And this was in the generation when, you know, we were getting ready to go to the moon. And people were all my boys, classmates, were obsessed with space. And I became very obsessed with the planets. And for my third grade science project, I did this beautiful drawing of all of the planets in our solar system around the sun, really researching it. We didn't have an internet then, so I must have gone to the library to find what the planets look like. And then I think, I don't know if it was Linda Goodman's sun sign book, but it was some really basic thing that I must have learned a little bit about the sun signs. You know, like you said, you became obsessed with yours. Well, you're an Aries. Aries is a sign that's meant to be the lead the way, to be the trailblazer. It's not really interested in the other signs because it's so busy doing its own thing. There isn't a lot of time. It's just, there's not a lot of bandwidth. Now, it's not like Aries don't care about other people, but their job as an Aries is to be an Aries. They're the ones with the machete going through the jungle. Everybody else is terrified. There's snakes. We don't know what's there. Aries is like, well, how are we going to find out? And so they lead the way. That's part of what their mission is. And so when I was in high school, one of my girlfriends and I, same sign as me, opposite to you, Carol, a Libra. And we were only like fascinated by other people. And so we'd ask people, when's your birthday? Oh, that means you're a Gemini and you love to talk and you have a lot of friends. And we were doing real basic stuff, but people were really fascinated by it. And I guess my interests continued to grow. And I took a little leave of absence. And right when I was preparing to go back to school, I learned that one of my best friends from high school had died tragically, very young, car accident. And it really threw me for a loop because I needed to understand what kind of world would let a brilliant, wonderful 19-year-old boy die so tragically. I was as bad as my mother was when she had lost her mother. But I went back to school and just flukily, except there's no such thing as a coincidence, is there? I signed up for a class called The Undiscovered Self, named for the psychoanalyst Carl Jung's autobiography of that same name. And at the beginning of the class, the professor had us just fill out this very short questionnaire. I wish I had saved it. It said things like, do you believe in the soul? Do you believe in ESP? Reincarnation? Life after death? And all these kinds of questions. And I answered very honestly. There were three possible answers. Yes, no, I don't know. It was mostly I don't know. And then over the next 3 months or 4 months, whatever that semester would be, September to December, we read 12 books. And they were books like Seth Speaks and Carl Jung's book and Carlos Castaneda and books like this that were very popular at the time, Brian Weiss, about, you know, reincarnated souls. And these were very powerful books. And we had a lot of class discussions. And then at the end of the 12 weeks, he had us take the exact same questionnaire again. Do we believe in the soul? Do we believe in past lives? Every single one was yes, yes, yes. I had the beginning of an understanding of the universe that my friend's death forced me to need to have because I was really in an existential crisis. And I came, and that was like age 21, 2021. And I came to really truly understand. I didn't have a lot of personal evidence, but I knew that we were not only our bodies, but that we were souls and that there were things beyond. We also, in my tiny little town in upstate New York, we had a world-class psychic and medium. A lot of people that we knew would go to him. And at my 10-year high school reunion, he was our guest speaker. And he would just tell people things that they didn't know. And he would channel their loved ones, which you know, is funny now because this has been part of my life for many, many decades. This is business as usual for me. But back then it was pretty exotic. I lived in Europe after my university years, and all I wanted to do, I was having an amazing time. Europe was just mind-blowing, world-expanding, and I loved every minute of it. And knowing that we were going to come back to the States, all I was focused on was finding an astrology teacher, you know, in my early 20s. And this was in the 1980s. There was no internet. There were not astrologers, you know, mm-hmm. everywhere you turn. There were no Facebook groups because there was no
right.
way to do this online. I found an amazing teacher instantly. And it all started to make sense, but not in a hocus pocus, you know, you're an Aries, you're this, but in a really understanding the complexity of the human psyche, of the personality. And then in ensuing years, because this is something you have to really take on a personal exploration of, mm-hmm. what is the nature of the soul? Why are individuals here? What kinds of experience have they set up before they incarnated themselves to experience it? We don't choose the experiences. You will have a car accident on the, you know, 10th of September. It isn't like that. But it's more like you might not be paying attention. You might be rushing, you know, or other things, other circumstances, or you're going to need something to shock you into changing your life course that is not leading you toward your soul's intention. So everything that happens, happens for a reason, whether we recognize it in the time that it's happening. But astrology gives us a larger perspective on what some of these things are and why we're drawn to things and people and have the experiences we have, because everything is serving a purpose for our own evolution.
See, I find everything you said so interesting because I agree with all of that. Everything happens for a reason. A lot of times you come out on the other side with a different understanding of the universe and a different outlook on the world. Now, let's go back to like astrology 101 or 001 in my case, because how do you take that information and apply it to someone? And we can use me for an example or anyone. How do you take the information that you look at and apply it to an individual?
Well, it starts with the individual.
Okay. With their basic information.
Yeah. So when somebody wants to do a session with me, Carol, they will fill out a form ahead of time. And on the form, in addition to asking for their birth information, I will ask them, what do you want to get out of this? I will never say, what's your problem?
Right.
I will say, what's your interest for the reading? And they will tell me. And the biggies, of course, have to do with career and money and finances. And of course, love and relationships. Those are the biggies. But more and more, and especially I find since COVID, when we were in lockdown and a lot of people really got into astrology and they got into a lot of healing work and they got into a lot of spiritual pursuits. Not everybody, but the people that I seem to know did, or the people I get to meet professionally. And what I'm noticing is that increasingly over the last 5 years or so, people are interested in why they're here.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I here? Well, there's more to life than, you know, wax on, wax off, go to the job, come home. There's got to be a meaning. Life also got very chaotic and scary during COVID. And I think people were looking for some kind of meaning, some kind of understanding of the universe, that it's not random and that things do make sense. And so a lot of people will say, I want to know if I'm ever going to find true love. Or they'll ask, you know, I do this job and it's fine and it's good money and it's good benefits, but my soul is being crushed, or I'm getting sick from all the stress, or I'm having all these mysterious ailments. Could it be connected to stress and work? You know, they know the answer already.
True.
But a lot of times people will say, I feel like I'm missing something. What am I meant to be doing? And so whatever they share with me is always our starting point. A chart really can reveal anything you're looking for if you know where to look and how to look, and you bring the same amount of neutrality. I don't know the answers. Now, your chart's interesting. You shared this with me just before we went live, and I said, I know that chart. It belongs to a very close friend of mine, and I've been looking at this chart for a long, long time.
Which is so funny. We have the exact same birth date.
Exact same day and year, which I won't reveal. But you're not her. And even if you were born at the same time, Carol, I've got a really interesting story. So there was a person that I dated for a brief period of time, quite a few years ago. And he presented in a very positive way. And then as I got to know him very quickly, I realized this guy is kind of full of you know what. And he didn't have any earth in his chart, which is what grounds us. He said he didn't smoke and he smoked. He said he didn't drink much and he drank like a fish. And there were just all kinds of red flags that I didn't see out of the gate, but I saw them very quickly. And the relationship ended. And now I'm in a very happy partnership. But so I was doing readings in a local metaphysical shop. And random people would come in, you don't know them. And they would sit down and you would do a real quick little session to answer their questions, give them insight. And this woman comes in, very, you know, nice looking, put together woman. And I say, okay, great. When is your birthday and where were you born? And I input it. And it's the exact day as this person I just referenced. Literally, same day, same year, and it was almost the same time of day. So it was a very similar chart. And silently I went, ruh-roh, what am I going to say positive to this woman? And so we always look for something positive, and there were positive things. But I said, you know, but I could see that maybe this is a challenge for you, and I wonder how you deal with it. And it was at that point in the session that she reaches into her her shirt collar, and she pulls out a pendant that she had. And it was her sobriety necklace. And she said, 12 years. If I had not gotten sober, my life would have been a train wreck. Mm-hmm. I would have this and I would have that. And there's no way to know, looking at a chart, where a person is in their soul's evolutionary journey. And we're all on evolutionary journeys. The fellow that I mentioned was at a different place mm-hmm. in his journey. She was on a similar kind of path, but she had the grace of discovering where her recovery lay. I'm not here to advocate drinking or not drinking. I'm just saying, when we have a tendency toward addiction and depression, we need to take responsibility for it so that we can clear those blocks so that we can live our full selves.
And when you do encounter someone like myself and your friend who have the exact same birth date, you know, there's also other considerations like our families and our parents and where we grew up and the amount of money that might have been coming in. So does that kind of factor in as well with, are you looking at?
Yes, everything.
Okay.
We look at everything. And part of my training is, and I don't profile people. I make zero judgments about people, but we do get information, not just the family of origin, but what's the lineage? Where do they come from? If I find out somebody's Irish Catholic, that's going to tell me something mm-hmm. right there about a certain set of received values. If somebody is Asian and their parents were born in Asia and they were raised with the culture still very much alive and informing their family, I'm going to be sensitive to their regard for their parents and their ancestors. It has nothing to do with my belief system. It has to do with understanding them and what they've inherited. And we inherit a lot. We can also liberate ourselves from right. some of these inheritances. But yeah, it has a lot to do with that. It can be socioeconomic. It can be what kind of education, what kind of religious, you know, foundation were you raised in? Are you Do you go along with it? Are you rebelling against it? So much identity. And if somebody is a little different, whether they're neurodivergent or they're maybe gender wise or sexual preferences, they're not the quote unquote norm. This is something we want to be sensitive to because this is going to be part of their identity.
So when you talked to me, you did ask where I was born. So that would be different than your friend. I'm assuming we weren't born in the same city. That would be really weird on the same day. But what? How does
no,
that...
No, but you were both born on the East Coast. So even though the North and the South are different...
Because I was born in Georgia.
And she was born in New York.
What? How does that information factor into it? The where I was born?
Well, it gets complicated here because not everybody was raised where they were born.
Me, for example.
You could be born in New York City or Los Angeles and then move to the heartland. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be raised with big city values. You're going to be raised with mid-American values. So it's really important to know these things. And I'll ask people on my intake form, there's a section for your background. This is very helpful. But I don't assume that just because people had a certain upbringing, they still are that way. But we get, and then we combine it with what we see in the chart. And if you knew your exact time, you know, I might say, you know, I just set you up for born approximately sunrise because
yeah,
you weren't
I can't,
sure.
I don't know. Yeah. And I tried to find my birth certificate for Suzanne and I can't find it, of course, when I need it.
But in this chart, Carol, I see that, and again, this may or may not really reflect your chart, but I see some changes in your childhood. I do see some early moves and maybe potentially the loss or separation of a parent or a grandparent, something that was influential for you in your early times that has a lot to do with helping you find your life path forward. And again, I'm really going out on a limb here because we don't know if this is your chart, mm-hmm. timing-wise.
Right.
Sometimes with astrology, we could sound like what I call, you know, the Vegas stage magician or psychic. Do you know someone whose name starts with the letter M? And you say really general things that anybody would go, oh my God, you're amazing. I don't like that. I like to get really close with, that's why I will really encourage people, search for your birth time, because that is very revealing. But even when we have the right birth time, I don't know what your life was like. There's almost 9 billion of us on this planet right now. And then how many were there, you know, how many not on the planet at this time? This is a lot of souls. This is a lot of room for difference. So what we want to look at is what is this individual? How is this person expressing these potential energies? And a lot of people come to me because they're having some challenges. Sometimes they come because they've got too many good things going on. Should I take that huge job? Should I start my own business? Should I just write that book that's going to be optioned for a movie? Those are wonderful clients. Those are wonderful problems to have. But a lot of times we're working on really human stuff. A lot of people had traumatic interruptions to their development when they were young. And we see this more and more. There really is. And it's hard to talk about this and not just like, you know, collapse into a puddle of pool. So many people mm-hmm. have such painful childhoods and they're trying now as adults, whether young adults or really established adults, to overcome this, to overcome this sense of powerlessness or unworthiness, or bad things will happen if I speak up or try things. And so we're here to support the individual by wherever they're at, meeting them at that point in their journey, but always showing them options, other ways of being, real life strategies and solutions, always showing them the gifts and the strengths and the opportunities that a chart suggests, and really being there like a coach or a counselor. I mean, I actually say that's what I am with a cheat sheet, meaning with a chart.
Because it does say on your website, your soul has an intention for this lifetime. It is encoded in your astrological chart. And I found that really interesting because, you know, for me, with my very limited knowledge of. And
did you, getting, and I have my fingers up. Minute, and I was like,
very limited. So when you look at someone's astrological chart, especially someone who you've been working with for a while, what information are you looking at? What do you refer to?
Well, every astrologer has a different approach. But for me, I consider everybody's life their individual hero's journey. Whether they're, you know, searching for a cure for cancer, or they're just trying to learn to trust because they've blocked themselves from the experience of intimacy. Equally important for the individual and for the collective. Because if we're all living our highest selves, then we all, humanity, gets raised up. So every act we commit is important. It's significant. And helping people recognize that. So I'm going to look for three main things. And I'm oversimplifying this, Carol, wildly. Okay.
Thank you, because that's good. And that's good for me.
Forever. It's good for everybody. Okay. Number one, what is special about this person? What is beautiful? What could be a source of happiness and pride and fulfillment for them? What are they good at, uniquely good at? It could be art, it could be compassion, and anything in between. And I'm going to look for that. Now, remember, this is all based on what they say they're interested in. It's not me making it up and forcing it on them. They want this. They have these great gifts. And then I'm going to look at, so what could be the challenges? What could be the obstacles? Why are they not living this life that they would like to live? We all have this to different degrees. And I'm going to find those things through astrological symbols. The main thing are the 10 planets that we're familiar with, which include the sun and the moon, not Earth, but Mercury, Venus, and so on out to Pluto. Those are the planets that modern astrologers work with. That people who practice a more ancient style don't work with Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. They work with the planets that you could see without a telescope. Well, to me, human consciousness has changed so much that we have to include other planets because their energies symbolize different parts of our own human experience and consciousness. And then there's planets beyond Pluto in that vast realm that we call the Kuiper Belt. And there's another region called the Oort cloud. There are estimated to be millions of planets.
That's that where, far like, out. That just blows me away when you think about space. You know, it's like there's no end. We don't know. There's so much we don't know that's going on out there.
There's so much we don't know, and we can really cause our brains to fry. I got something I was just reading yesterday, someone said, wait a minute, if the universe is infinite and the universe is expanding, what is it expanding against?
Oh, no, it's like, that's really deep.
Right? This can just, you could like have smoke coming out of your ears when you really ponder this, right? Like when we were school kids and our teachers would give us examples from here to, you know, the limits of outer space would be if a light year was a sheet of paper, it would be a stack of papers that went to the moon. So here's what we do. We don't know. We simply say there are things we don't know, but there are things we do know from data and from empirically, from repeated over and over observations that seem to support the same ideas. The planets have these archetypal energies. Somebody came up with it somewhere a long, long time ago, but we don't just accept that as gospel truth. We go, is this true? And we work with these things, and people before us have worked with these things. So we know that planets, and there's other things we work with that might not be the formal planets, but they might be dwarf planets, or they might be asteroids that follow a prescribed path. And some of those asteroids have to do with healing and waking up the consciousness. And the further out the planet, sort of like homeopathy, the more you distill an essence, the stronger it is. Not the stronger you make it, like in Western medicine. Oh, give her 5 milligrams, give her 100 milligrams. It's the opposite. It's the more subtle it is, that it has a greater effect on consciousness. And so some people come into astrology and they want to make predictions about what's going to happen. Other people want to help you psychologically. And sometimes we want to help people on a spiritual level to awaken to their true nature and what's really the reason that they're here. Now, I say, yeah, we're souls. We're souls having a physical human existence because a soul is pure energy. Energy can't shift itself, right? It can transform into another thing, but it can't expand. It can't turn, it can't itself develop like we can here. So the soul does its work through our humanness. So everything we do, every kindness that we do goes toward our evolution. Every time we cheat or take a shortcut or do something mean, and we know it because everybody knows what morality is. Don't need 10 commandments. We don't need these rules because we all know them. We do. We don't all choose to follow them, true. But everybody knows, right? And when we follow our own moral compass and we live in love and we take chances and we do hard things and we grow and stretch out of our comfort zones, well, we expand. And that's how the soul continues on its evolutionary journey. And so depending on what a person is interested in, I'm going to listen to their words, your words, Carol, and I'm going to find the things in the chart that are correlated with the things people are saying. If people talk about love, well, I'm going to look at Venus, the love planet, but I'm also going to look at Mars because that's passion. And then I'm going to look at the areas of a chart, which we call the houses, and they're associated with areas of life. And then I'm going to look at the areas of life that have to do with love and dating and commitment and intimacy and trust. And that's how we start to find our story.
I'm telling you right now, Suzanne, that part of my chart is going to be so boring. You're going to be like, honey, I'm so sorry. So with each person, though, I think it's interesting. Like, for example, I have a friend, more of an acquaintance, but like a professional acquaintance. And she is also does astrology. And so she'll post things that go way over my head, you know, Mercury and retrograde and that sort of thing. Can those sorts of things affect all of us, you know, with a certain, or is it more certain ones of us will be affected? Maybe, you know, and I don't know how that affects me exactly.
Right. No, you're asking a great question. So when we do these kinds of general forecasts, oh, you know, today this planet turned retrograde or came right out of retrograde, or these two planets are making this angle in the sky. Well, first of all, when people, you know, it's called mundane, and that doesn't mean petty. It means like mundial. It has to do with the world. It has to do with bigger affairs. And so in a way, we're talking about a general energetic pattern that everybody would be somewhat influenced by. And some are much more influential than others. Like you might have heard, viewers might have heard, listeners, I should probably say, that last year Pluto changed signs and it went into Aquarius. Only briefly, Pluto went into Aquarius, the very modern sign of technology and modernity and progressive values and equality among people and all these beautiful ideal things, but also very much technology. The day that Pluto went into Aquarius, first time in 248 years, ChatGPT stable version dropped to the world, literally the same day. AI being the biggest game changer we're going to experience in hundreds of years. The day that Pluto goes into Aquarius, and then it came back out, and then it went back in. And right now, this is the last 2.5 months for hundreds of years that Pluto will be in the previous sign of Capricorn, the old guard. This is breaking down old systems. And then in November, it's going to move back into Aquarius for 20 years. Life is not going to be the same for any of us. And that's going to affect all of us. AI is affecting all of us, whether or not, like some people go, doesn't affect me, I'm immune to it. Wait, just wait. Wait till family members lose their jobs, or wait till fake news and things start affecting you. It's going to affect everybody. And for many of us, it already has. And for a lot of people in positive ways, it's expediting work processes. It's neutral. It's how mm-hmm. we use it, right? But then people who have things in their chart at that point, say at 0 degrees of Aquarius, 1 degree of Aquarius, or the opposite sign, because it's going to affect across the board at 0, 1 degrees of Leo. Well, these people are going to experience it personally, directly, and in ways that have something to do with not just AI per se. These are going to be some radical transformational opportunities that come into their life that they either get to embrace or they're going to resist. And that's going to happen anyway, but it's going to affect their influence based on whether we can go with the flow or we're going to be in resistance. Because whenever we're in resistance, there's tension. And tension usually does not lead to a better outcome. So yes, it affects everybody. Not everything affects everybody. And some things, depending on where it falls in your chart, it will affect you personally, not necessarily like someone who has your birthday, because you'll have it in a different part of the chart. So somebody else might have a radical transformation with their health. Someone else might have it with their job, or, oh, they might get pregnant. So we don't know until we place it in the chart.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with astrologer Suzanne Gerber. For more information, visit her website at starsandstoneshealing.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the complete archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chumba. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.